Today, we're going to study the article called The Difference Between the Science of Kabbalah and Religion. In the framework of our this article, I cannot enter the field of religion. It's a great area of knowledge throughout its history. Humanity is connected with faiths and religions. Even before approaching Kabbalah, we study about Abraham, the first Kabbalist. We know that his father, Terach, was engaged in idolatry, and Abraham was the first person who received the knowledge of the Creator, realized that there is one force that created the creation and rules over it, and includes everything. Before that moment, the Bible, or the Torah, tells us that people believed in many gods. It was called polytheism. Man believed that this world is governed by many forces. Similarly, a modern person believes that there are many forces that rules over him: his boss, his wife, health, the world, society, nature. So there are many sources that influences us. That's what we think. If behind all these sources of influence does not see one single governing force, and we call it the Creator, nature, doesn't matter, but one force, purposeful force. He does not imagine it this way, then he is engaged in idolatry. But if he imagines one force, then he is considered believing in the Creator. By the Creator, we understand the one governing force that rules over everything, that leads all of us to a certain goal. So, Abraham was the first Kabbalist, the first person who revealed behind all the forces this one all-encompassing force. His father, the previous level before Abraham, was called Terach.
Abraham,
a bigot, and Abraham revealed the unity of the Creator. First, it seemed to him that he is influenced by many forces, but he rose above it all and revealed one force. called him the Creator, and through all the forces that man feels, and he called the wisdom that he revealed Kabbalah. And he gave us the basics of the science so that we could attain that force. When a person attains his root, his source, he enters the state of perfection, eternity. What is the difference? There are religions,
faiths
that are not polytheistic. They are the followers of monotheism. But what is the difference between Kabbalah and religion? Religion assumes that the Creator changes his attitude to the person depending on the person's actions. The science of Kabbalah, however, states that the upper force is invariable and the actions of a person can in no way affect it. Instead, the person's actions can change himself. We said that we have many ideas about the world which exists. First of all, this world is perceived in our five senses. Whatever is outside us is unknown to us. We are like a box with five openings, five holes with membranes. If the properties inside the box are similar to those outside, then the outside properties are perceived, detected by the inner properties. So the inner properties pick not the outside properties, but their own reaction, their similarity. Let's take sound, for example. There are many waves outside. My sound device is designed in such a way that it has a membrane, all kinds of cameras. If my inner parameters before on the inside before a membrane are healthy, I pick the waves within a certain range of frequencies, say from 15 to 15,000 or 20,000, but if my inner system is injured, then I do not perceive anything that happens outside.
So
I perceive only according to the parameters of my five senses. And all systems are based on this same principle. Furthermore, my system is based on the differentiation of the source. If I feel something permanent, I stop feeling it. I need to feel it on the transition between at least two properties. If it's a permanent, constant sound, we stop paying attention to it. We get used to it and exclude it from the area of our attention. our eye is constantly moving.
Потому что если не будет разницы, он не будет считывать разницу между своими
состояниями, if it does not detect the difference between its states, it will not be able to pick information correctly. What I'm trying to say is that all our senses are based on the principle of perceiving the inner picture. And portraying it as an outside picture. If our senses were different than they are today, we would feel the world differently. There are elementary particles that go through concrete, and there are others that are blocked by air. So by our inner properties, we build the picture of our world from some outside influence, and we cannot transcend these frameworks because we are confined to our five senses. Today, the science begins to understand how limited we are.
And
science says that people begin to understand that our reality is subjective. It exists in our feelings. The next theory of the perception of the universe of Hugh Everett says that the world around us is unknown to us, but our inner picture depends on how similar our inner properties are to the outside properties. So the picture of the world is something intermediate between my properties and the outside parameters, and we see it in science. We begin to observe life reality through the eye of an animal. We conduct all kinds of experiments, and we begin to perceive the world. Animals' perception of the world is totally different from ours. Science slowly, gradually comes to the conclusion that nothing actually exists around us. We cannot say anything about what exists. Obviously, there is some constant, permanent influence. We live in something permanent, and whatever we feel as moving, as existing, are in a reaction of our properties that change. And if they don't, the picture of the world is static. And we see it in the experiments of science. The science of Kabbalah, however, states that the upper force is invariable, and the actions of a person can in no way affect it. It influences us. Through absolute kindness. And the upper light that exists around us is called the Creator. The Creator never changes His attitude to man. He is kind and dispenses kindness. And all the measures, all the pictures of His influence on man are imagined by man. They take various forms, either the feeling of kindness, goodness, then they are called the measures of good. If the person feels these measures of good coming from the upper force, this person is considered to be in the spiritual world. He knows that its attitude to him is constant, kind and good, but he can feel it only if he becomes similar to this force. But there are states and a person does not feel the influence, the direct influence of this force. Instead, he feels all kinds of materialized images, forms. This force is behind these images, but he does not know it, does not feel it. He perceives everything as a multitude of forces. That he is considered to be in our world, in the world of concealment, of the Creator. It seems to him that instead of one force, he has many sources of influence. Religion assumes that the Creator changes his attitude to the person depending on the person's actions. So if I'm good, the Creator will treat me. His attitude to me will be good. He will change his attitude to me. The science of Kabbalah, however, states that the upper force is invariable. The upper light is static, motionless, and the actions of a person can in no way affect it. Instead, the person's actions can change himself. He will be able to perceive the upper governance differently if his own changes are aimed toward greater resemblance. That's why he thinks, he believes, that the Creator is changing. Our attitude improves because we change. Like a child, if the child improves his behavior, his properties become better, closer to the properties of his parents, he will feel their kind and good attitude previously. They seem to him cruel. So we reveal reality with regards to itself. What does it matter? What difference does it make? The difference is enormous. Man knows that if he changes, he will perceive the invariable Creator. As changing. And religion says that we compel the Creator to change. Kabbalah forces man to change and become more and more similar to the Creator. Whereas religion does not set this goal. It calls upon people to pray, ask the Creator to change his attitude towards us. Kabbalah says, no, we should not ask anyone. we need to ask for our own changes, our own transformations. If we change, then we will perceive everything differently. This is a cardinal difference. This is the difference between the person who knows that he has to work and change himself and another one who waits for the Creator to change. Religion forces man to seek for methods of influencing the Creator, give alms, perform all kinds of other actions, whereas Kabbalah instructs us to find methods of self-transformation. Creator is invariable, but as parents that seem to be kind and good to a good child, he will be changed in your perception. Religion assumes that the Creator changes his attitude to the person depending on the person's actions. The science of Kabbalah, however, states that the upper force is invariable and the actions of a person can in no way affect it. Instead, the person's actions can change himself. He will be able to perceive the upper governance differently. His own changes are aimed toward greater resemblance. He will be able to perceive the Creator as kind and good by increasing the difference between his properties, perception, and those of the Creator bestowal. He will feel the Creator's attitude as more negative. There's a bigger delta, bigger difference between the vessel and the light. There are many expressions in the Kabbalistic text indicating the invariance of the Creator's attitude towards the created beings. I do not change my name. He is good and bestows goodness upon his creatures, good and bad. The upper light is absolutely static. So on. So the science of Kabbalah, in all its explanations and expressions, emphasizes the invariance of the upper force. It is static, motionless. The light that was emanated from the Creator created the Kli, created the soul, split it into a certain number of parts, and it's the same ray of light that descends from Atzmuto, the greatest essence, and permeates all our reality and leads us to the end of correction. And this ray of light is constant. But in accordance with this, a religious person turns to the Creator and asks him to change, whereas the Kabbalist turns to this one motionless static light and asks it to change him. Besides, the Kabbalist wants to change himself, not for the Creator to become kind in his perception. He asks for change in order for him to perceive the Creator correctly. Not for good feeling, pleasure and comfort, but for the sake of ability to justify the Creator's actions, then the person becomes a tzaddik, a righteous one, the one who justifies the Creator's actions. When I can justify your actions, then I can bestow delight upon you. I become like you. I want to be similar to you. That's my desire, to be similar to the light. So man's attitude to the Creator,
просьба о исправлении,
is a request about
для того, чтобы
self-transformation,
пребывать не потому, что оно приятно, а потому, что оно подобно Творцу.
He wants to be in a state of similarity to the Creator, not because it's pleasant, but because he wants to merge with him. By this, he bestows delight upon the Creator. So there is a cardinal difference between the two approaches. A religious person accepts that the Creator is angry. He does not say that the Creator is evil and bad. As it is said, everyone judges in the measure of his own distortion. A believer asks the Creator to become better. The Kabbalist asks the Creator to transform him. Therefore, a prayer is called self-judgment or self-analysis.
Kabbalist
accepts the thought that the Creator is good and kind. This is when a person does not appeal to the Creator. He knows that only good emanates from the Creator, but judges himself instead and analyzes himself with regard to the upper invariable force and asks it to make it similar to himself. This attitude towards himself and towards the Creator constitutes the difference between Kabbalah and religion. Even though religion calls for certain personal changes, religion is based on pleading with the Creator. In the past, people made sacrifices to the many forces that influenced them, leading them to change. You may say, what about sacrifices in the temple? It's a very interesting system. There is a special treatise in the Talmud, which is called Kurban, sacrifice. It derives from the word karov, which is near, close. So by sacrifice, we mean the person's actions. When he takes still vegetative or animal levels of nature and sacrifices them, corrects them, elevates them to the human level, changes his intention, and corrects the still vegetative or animate part of his desires. In our world, it is embodied in all kinds of sacrificial rites. All these attributes include still vegetative and animate levels of nature. That's how it is described in a work of man. The attitude towards himself and towards the Creator
is И чтобы все изменилось, а вот чтобы все изменилось к лучшему, надо просить Творца, а не меняться самому.
As the person changes, he corrects himself relative to the invariable and absolute creator. So people create all kinds of hierarchical systems, how the creator should be treated. People come to me and ask me to pray for them. Help me to feel good. People believe that this way they can compel the Creator to change with regard to them. It sits very deep, deeply in man. He retains his ideas until he crosses the Muslim. So I'm compelled to answer them. Of course, I will pray for you. What am I going to pray about? So that the Creator would change as regards man. He cannot change. He is always good and kind. So what should I pray for? The only thing I can do for my neighbor, I can try to unite with his kli, attach his kli to mine and elevate it, bring it closer to the Creator. So I try to elevate other souls to the Creator, then they will feel better. This is the prayer for other people. Not turning to him to make him change. It's impossible. It's unreal, unrealistic. He is absolutely kind, but by uniting with other souls, we should try to elevate them. Because they change themselves, they feel the goodness of the Creator more and more. That's how we can change people's perception of the Creator. I remember how many times while walking in the park with my teacher, or being in all kinds of events, during wedding parties or social events, dozens of people were literally attacking him, imploring him to pray for them, giving him all kinds of notes and requests. And he never even knew how to react to these requests. He didn't know what to answer to them. So he said, yes, okay, all right, I will do it. And asked me to somehow pacify them. And I remember on one occasion we were in the hospital. He had a prostate operation. As soon as the people in the hospital, the patients found out who he was, they started attacking him, so he called me. And one of his students, one of his disciples, liked this kind of behavior, and he, my teacher invited him to the hospital, and he approached everyone in the hospital and blessed them all, and everyone was relaxed and happy. People need this psychological support. They are ready to pay for it. When man is in a bad shape, in poor state, he's ready for everything. But we should understand that the change should take place in us, within us. There are no miracles, as many of us believe. Why is the Creator not revealed to us? Why doesn't He change His attitude to me? Why Doesn't lightning show miracles and work wonders? We need to change, and then we will perceive the world differently. There's nothing else. The rest is delusion and deceit, falsehood. As we learn it in Kabbalah, there is the Kli, which would be similar to the light. It acquires the screen, and only to that extent it can feel itself in the real, true universe, merged with the Creator. There are no miracles. The Kli perceives the light only to the measure of its correction. There are no undeserved states. Do something to me, make some trick so that I would feel happy. It will never be this way. We deal with precise laws of the universe. They're described in our books. And when people believe that by some miracles, by some tricks, asking the Kabbalists to do something for us by way of manipulation, we can achieve something. We should reveal a desire, then correct it, then we'll feel a new reality in our newly required desires. So there's nothing to pray for except for seifa, correction.
Поэтому молитва и называется проверка самого себя, самоанализ. Когда человек не обращается,
therefore, prayer is called self-judgment or self-analysis. A person does not appeal to the Creator, but judges himself instead and analyzes himself with regards to the upper invariable force and asks the upper light to correct his desire.
Под изменениями в себе
Kabbalah is rejected by religions as mass. Religion is based on the conviction that a person need only ask the Creator and everything will change from above to his advantage, as the Creator will turn his face to him. That is, a believer is convinced that the Creator exists and governs everything. There are people who take advantage, and for a nice fee, they are ready to pray for other people and these people sell these things. That is, a believer is convinced that the Creator exists and governs everything. In order for anything to improve, we need only ask the Creator instead of changing himself. Religious masses interpret inner changes as performing good deeds, such as helping others out of compassion, but not changing one's nature and making it similar to the Creator. They engage in rituals, do all kinds of so-called good deeds. We see that during thousands of years these methods do not work, but man does not have any other way out. So all the generations go over the same thing. People believe that by some mechanical rituals, and it doesn't matter what religion it refers to, we can change the Creator's attitude. Today, I have a trial, and if I do something good, then the Creator will change His attitude towards me. Why should He change?
Какими своими действиями, такими внешними, что ты кому-то что-то дашь, ты что-то изменишь.
What are you going to change by your outward actions? If you improve, if you correct your inner desire, then your perception will change. You will feel as if He changes His attitude to you. But it's only because you have changed. So Kabbalah says, stop observing empty rituals, because your life is not improving. Look back and see that it's empty, fruitless, futile work. And start working inwardly. Change yourselves. The Creator wants your heart and not some outward actions. And love thy neighbor is when you love thy neighbor, and not do some insignificant favors to one another. The Creator is cruel, created an evil world, and you help each other and try to correct His mistakes. Each one feels His reality as bad and evil, and everything comes from the Creator. But you're kind people, you're good, and you treat each other better than He. He sends you illnesses, problems, troubles, and you, unlike Him, try to help each other, love each other, so you are much better than the Creator. Yeah? That's what it comes to. So it is said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do not perform external actions. Try to correct your heart. Then you will see how the Creator treats you. What's His attitude to you and to all others. Rav, why is there a gap between the between nature's attitudes to a small child until he grows, until it grows, and then becomes harsh when the child grows up? It's an illusion. It is said by man that the Creator is benevolent to man in the early stage of his development, and then he abruptly changes attitude. When man is in the early stages of his development, 0, 1, 2, he does not feel the negative attitude of the Creator. We don't know what negative influence of the Creator are felt by stones, say. If we take the vegetative level, plants, then the influence on them is more harsh, is harsher. So when the child is growing up, he does not feel the Creator's influence because his desires are small. So it seems to us that the Creator's influence is benevolent, is good. And it seems to us that the Creator is kind to small children. The small level of children's egoism gives them a certain picture. We need to spend hours and hours in order to organize our life. With animals it's much simpler than with men. What I'm trying to say is that when egoism in us is growing, it is expressed in such a way that it seems to us that the Creator's attitude to us is changing. If you look at a cat or at a good, would you prefer cat's or dog's life to you? But if you add your egoism to a dog, then it would immediately start feeling all kinds of blows and problems. Is everything okay? So I repeat, it seems to us that the Creator changes his attitude to someone. It's only because, first of all, we change. If I change myself and become more and more similar to the Creator, I begin to see that he treats everyone with absolute kindness. I begin to see that the upper light treats the entire world equally, and the Creator dresses himself in the whole world, and I see that there are only kelim filled with the light. My perception has changed, but actually, in actual fact, everything has always been this way. At the moment, I feel the world as bad and evil. If I begin to change myself, transform myself, make myself similar to the Creator, I will see how he dresses in this world and governs it. If I unite with other souls, I will see how differently they perceive the world. So the one who attains the universe attains the real attitude of the Creator to the creation. A conviction in the change of the Creator's attitude to the person leads to envy, who is treated by the Creator with greater love and who is more divinely chosen. It causes antagonism to arise not only among people, but also between religions. The representatives of various confessions dispute whose prayers the Creator is inclined to answer more willingly. When people do not position their destiny, as dependent on their own correction, they envy each other. People believe that if they destroy other nations or other religions, they will live happier. The reason for it lies in the fact that the person
а на самом деле только это определяет его состояние.
Builds his life.
Да.
According to his beliefs.
Каким образом каббалист совмещает?
How can a Kabbalist combine the pictures on the one hand in his five natural senses? The Kabbalist sees how bad and evil everything is. He reads newspapers and listens to the radio. And sees how all other people react to it. In his sixth sense, however, he feels the real attitude of the Creator to the creation. The sixth sense is like a tentacle which the Creator implanted in him. And thanks to this duality of his states, he perceives the world from the Creator's point of view and from the world's point of view. Thanks to that, he can help people to advance towards the Creator. He does not associate himself with this look, outlook of the world. He associates himself with his sixth sense, this ability to see and feel. The world in two ways gives him an opportunity to unite with other souls and help them. We need to change the cassette and the camera.
Вадим, ну.
Why do the Kabbalists write their Kabbalistic texts? In such a way. If a person does not receive a special Kabbalistic education, then he perceives the world with his five senses. He perceives the world as it is, and if there is a creator behind this world, he does it in the same way this world influences us. The world should change.
То есть, потому что мы существуем только в наших пяти органах чувств, поэтому мы такую картину мира
и себя, live with our exist with our five senses. That's why we imagine this egocentric picture. I need to do something in order to world treat me better.
Все ко мне как-то относится. Не надо делать так, чтобы относились ко мне хорошо.
I always want to change the world so that it would treat me better. I want the Creator to change his attitude to me. I will pray to him, I will ask him. I will pray to many gods or to one God, it doesn't matter. But the Kabbalist knows that he needs to change himself. Not the world, but they get out, transcend the boundaries of this world. They see know and feel that he is absolutely kind. We incorrectly perceive the world. We believe that it really exists objectively outside us. But this world is built, is based on our inner qualities, inner properties, feelings, sensations. If we change, everything will change. But we cannot imagine it because we cannot transcend our bodies and see everything from a sight, as Kabbalists do. But they advise us, stop being foolish, stop being silly. The world is not going to change. Change yourselves and you will see that the world will be changing toward you. You will start feeling it differently, as a good child feels the attitude of his parents is good and kind. That's all. The problem is, before we cross the Mahzom, these words will remain words. We just need to tune ourselves up to the real prayer correctly. Not implore the Creator to change, but ask Him to correct ourselves. We should ask Him to change ourselves, to make us similar to Him. We need to pray, we need to ask Him, but about correction, self-correction, then it is efficient. We studied in the study of the Ten Sferot, only raising man. And what is raising man? It's the request of correction. Only it can influence the upper level. Everything is ready, everything is prepared for you. The absolute good. If you want to feel this goodness in yourself, you need to correct your kli first. So man is the request of correction, for correction. And before that you need to realize your evil. Yes.
Man
of the Kabbalistic group is not a miracle. It's a request for correction. I told you. One of us has problems at his work, and we love him. We are connected with him in one aspiration to the Creator, and we wish that he can feel this contact with the Creator. Thus, we help him change and feel the Creator's influence on himself in a positive way. If people treat each other this way, they really make their life better. Do they change the Creator's attitude to themselves? They just perceive him in a more correct way. By loving each other, they become closer to the Creator. But how about the boss? But your boss is a puppet. It's the same Creator who treats you this way, shows you as a specific picture. And there are people who love you and they want to become closer to the Creator through the contact with you. And you suddenly feel that your boss becomes kinder and better. You look at your boss or at the force that's in him, behind him. Everything is pretty simple. Don't look at the outer shells.
Каббала же считает, что Творец не изменен, и только человек, в мере своего исправления.
Каббала asserts that the Creator is invariable. In the process of a person's correction, they deserve to see an improvement in the invariance of the Creator's attitude. Therefore, the more corrected a person is, the more they will justify the Creator's actions. Kabbalah states that instead of praying, one should rather be changing. Consequently, Kabbalah evokes hatred from the religious groups as it indirectly accuses them of hypocrisy. So if I pay, the Creator will change his attitude to me. That's their approach. Why? Why on earth will he change his attitude? Here's another problem. We don't understand what is inside of our actions in this world. If someone helped someone else, gave him a sum of money, if you gave it with an inner intention, it's an action. To better understand the attitude of Kabbalists to the Creator, we can take a look at a Kabbalistic prayer book. It contains no ordinary words that express human emotions. Instead, it consists of numerous symbols designating spiritual actions that the person should carry out while correcting himself, to consequently receive their polite. This is the difference between the notions of a religious God and the Kabbalistic Creator. So if you take a prayer book of Kabbalism, you'll see separate letters. So what do they signify? And there are some instructions attached to them. Raise man to such and such surah and perform such and such actions. These actions are inner actions. The person should perform them in himself, correct himself through this gradual influence of the upper light and make himself similar to the Creator. We study it in the 11th, the 12th part of the study of the 10th Sefirot. It describes the actions of correction that are called the gradual awakening, the beginning of the day, the way the person should live his life. The Kabbalistic study of the structure of the universe gives a person a clear idea of the Creator, whose properties are at the very top of the spiritual ladder, and of himself, who is at the bottom of this ladder. The rungs of the ladder represent the various worlds. The purpose of creation is to independently ascend and merge one's desires with those of the Creator. I turn to the Creator and ask Him for correction to be elevated on the rungs of this ladder, so that my egoistic desires would be constantly corrected in similarity to Him. That's what we call the ascent, spiritual ascent. After realization of evil and preparation for the real prayer, I make new step and rise to the next level. This ascent involves an interchange of the person's properties from an egoistical intention in all of his thoughts and desires to an altruistic intention. Man ascends the rungs of the ladder, each one characterizing a degree of similarity to the Creator. So there is an absolute 100% level of the Creator, and I'm on the level of zero, and I start rising and assimilating myself to the Creator. These levels are graduated into 125 or 620. It doesn't matter, there are all kinds of divisions. But as a result, similarly, we can divide our life into tens of years years, months, weeks. And these are the measures of the spiritual life that man lives until he merges with the Creator and his properties. And the graduation of these levels, it doesn't matter how they are really divided. Naturally, studying the structure of the universe in such detail prevents a person from imagining that his relationship with the Creator is dependent on his requests. The science of Kabbalah, when mechanically studied, it creates in us the correct approach, correct relationship to the Creator. Since the Creator is invariable, you should change. The light created you, so ask the light to correct you. Imagine a perfect parent in our world. Everything depends on your similarity to the upper light. It is obvious. Naturally, studying the structure of the universe in such detail prevents a person from imagining that his relationship with the Creator is dependent on his requests. Imagine a perfect parent in our world. It is obvious that a child cannot evoke any additional love for himself by any of his actions, as parental love is eternal and perfect. The external projection of this love depends solely on the states that a person must go through in order to become acquainted with the whole of creation, to gain experience and to become equal to the Creator. So here arises a question. Excuse me. So why didn't he create us as perceiving him as good and kind and perfect? Because he didn't want us to feel him as such, but he wanted us to become like himself. And we can become like himself, we need to start from the opposite state. That's why the Kli, the opposite state, the imprint, the opposite state, the state opposite to the light, and this Kli needs to be corrected, become similar to the Creator, but only to the extent of its desire for such improvement. Whether we want it or not, we need to go through these different various opposite states and reach equivalence of form with him. Then we will be able to justify him and love him. From this it follows that even the desirable transformation we can make in ourselves and consequently feel the Creator's unfailing good attitude to us can in fact be hardly called correction. This is because we must go through all the levels, extreme states, changes, and sensations in order to acquire the experience and ability needed to feel the entire universe from end to end. So we need to go through all the states, most opposite, terrible, appalling, so that we would desire to reach the equivalence of form with the Creator. Correction only means our attitude towards whatever occurs to us. When regardless of what happens, we evaluate and accept everything that happens as being absolutely beneficial, this arouses a sensation of happiness and pleasure. This leads to a situation when a person discovers that nothing really changes at all except his attitude towards the constant state he exists in. He was created in the state and has always existed in it. When man reveals the upper world. He discovers that he finds that this is the state he has always been. We are in the word of infinity, completely filled with the light. In the introduction to the Zohar, we learned that the Creator created the first state, the world of infinity. Then we instantly fall into the state of this world, and then we return, we close the cycle and return to the first state. And the third state, or final correction, and return to the world of infinity. So actually, we are constantly in that world. But all this path of ours is our realization of our real state. And it happens gradually. That's why it is called the ascent worlds to the level of infinity. Actually, nothing changes. All the worlds are within us. Our properties change. And this feeling, this sensation gradually transpires, manifests in us, and everything else disappears. Save the Creator. Save the one light. It goes without saying that the study of Kabbalah provides a concept of creation and of the person's place in it that naturally deters him from prayer, as it is customary in the conventional society. Yet it is most important, and central act in religious practices, and everything else is organized around it. So the first thing that the learner of Kabbalah reveals, that he loses the desire to pray, to ask the Creator to change with regards to himself. But if we open our textbooks, we will see there the words that seemingly describe the same actions, the request to the Creator to change himself, his attitude towards us. Prayer is self-judgment in Hebrew. Lihitpalel, it's reflexive verb, self-evaluation, and the request to the Creator to transform, for transformation. So the correct interpretation, correct understanding of the word prayer, tefila, and to pray, litpalel, is self-judgment, self-evaluation, self-analysis. Raising man or turning with a request to the Creator only for transformation, for correction. Such a correct orientation, focusing on the Creator, it completely changes man's attitude to the world, to the Creator, to himself. It helps him to be in the constant state of prayer, requesting the Creator to correct him. That's the real prayer. So it is said, man should pray constantly throughout the entire day. He needs to seek, to search what needs correction and raise his mind. In this case, the wisdom of Kabbalah naturally directs the person towards inner reflection and transformation, which alienates him from performing rituals and following any religious injunctions. That is why all religions oppose Kabbalah, and Judaism leads this opposition. So naturally, the religious circles will oppose Kabbalah because it directs man to other purposes, other goals, creates in him a different attitude to the Creator. And in the future we will find some common platform so that all false images and ideas will pass to the correct understanding and perception of the Creator. That's what we can say about the difference between religion and Kabbalah. But from our direction, we should not picture this difference through humiliation and laughing at someone or something. Religions were born, created as a result of people's need to search for something for the Creator. And naturally, until the person is desperate to know the real answer, he should be treated very cautiously. We should not compel anyone to change his mind or beliefs. There are all kinds of people that believe in all kinds of things. Amulets, red bracelets, holy water. We should not be laughing at them. And we should not force them to abandon all this because they live in it, they believe in it. Everyone needs to slowly and gradually realize and create correct intentions and desires to form himself from within. There should be no coercion, no compulsion. If you press the person from outside, we do not allow this person to go through all the states. So we need to stop convincing anyone. We need to give a book, share the knowledge. We see that there are people who are totally unable to detach themselves from their beliefs in miracles, all kinds of amulets and rituals, and we shouldn't press them, force them to change their minds. We need to distinguish between those who think and believe in what we believe and those who are not yet mature enough. You should be very gentle and careful. They will mature with time, and we should treat positively all kinds of faiths and teachings and customs that blossom like flowers. They sell all kinds of amulets and create all kinds of new patents of how to make human life happy. It all stems from man's need to find his essence. all his teachings, all his methods will allow people to go through these states to work with it, and then through them they will faster come to Kabbalah. We should not destroy anything, negate anything that exists in the world. Everything is necessary if it exists. We should patiently wait and hope that it will, this work will be completed and people will change. Here we will complete the study of this article. On the one hand, you say that we shouldn't criticize it. On the other hand, it sounds that we absolutely oppose it and negate the religious approach. We need to be careful and thoughtful, cautious and gentle. The person should work on his beliefs and go through all the stages of development of his egoism from the first to the last. Then he will be ripe and mature to begin studying Kabbalah on the one hand, but on the other hand, when we speak about ourselves, about Kabbalah, we compel people to study Kabbalah. Is that your question? Our explanation is so right, so when you start explaining, you negate everything else. Our explanation is so rational, logical, correct, that it detaches person, severs him from all kinds of religions, red bracelets, amulets, and no, it's not correct. It's totally incorrect. The person cannot act on the influence of his mind. His mind is created to serve his desires. Delight created the kli. And beside the kli, gradually the mind is developed in order to find satisfaction, to satisfy the desire. Our mind, our brain serves our feelings, our heart. It seeks all kinds of ways how to satisfy ourselves. So whatever clever things you may say to the person, his heart will lead him to the place where he can find satisfaction, pleasure, exactly the pleasure that he wants. We know by ourselves that however clever we may be, we go after our heart, we submit to our desires and run after them. So you may speak to all people on earth openly about Kabbalah, but after listening to you, everyone will finally return to the state which determines his stage of development of egoism. So if he believes, if he prefers to believe in the red bracelets and all kinds of amulets, then he will continue to be in that state. He will not understand you. He will not agree with you. He will say that your method is wrong. And he will be right. With regards to himself, he does not see anything that can fill him in your method. And if with the help of his meditations and exercises can satisfy his needs, then This method is right and good for him, and you cannot argue with him. You cannot convince him. Logic is powerless here if we speak about failing of heart. Logic works on the... with the mind. So we shouldn't be afraid to disseminate Kabbalah because it will be accepted, taken only by those who are mature enough. Other people will go to other centers, to other Scientologists or Indian even under the name of Kabbalah they will find all kinds of things, and they will leave you. They will say that you are wrong. Or alternatively, they may say that your path is very difficult, harsh. You need to accumulate all your aspirations and raise money and realize your evil, and only after this terrible amount of sufferings you will be able to exit Egypt. It is for the person who already exited Egypt. All the 10 plagues. It is given to very serious people who are ready to run from Egypt and go through the Red Sea. So don't be afraid to talk to everyone about it, but do not force yourself on anyone. Do not coerce. Do not compel anyone. The person will decide according to his heart. That's why we say there's no coercion in spirituality. Just share your information and he will adapt it according to his heart desires. There can be no compulsion here. We see how much people want to be with us, and we see that they cannot. Only few people, few individuals stay with us. Dozens of people, hundreds of people leave us and go. They're not mature enough. Maybe they will come in the next generation, in the next incarnation. How can you explain that we are in the last generation, as the Bhagavad Gita puts it? On the other hand, only a few individuals are ripe enough to study Kabbalah. The fact that there are people who begin to study Kabbalah, this last generation will last for many years, We say that every 25 years a new generation comes, but it's not so. The last generation is the stage of the development of egoism when it realizes that it needs to correct itself. The last stage is called realization of evil, and it begins to take place in humankind. People are totally disoriented. They exist under imminent threat of destruction. That's the beginning of this stage. But it will last for tens of years until people realize and understand, and by asking the Creator to correct them, will become similar to Him. The last generation does not mean that everything is going to end in a couple of years. It's the last stage of development of egoism when it comes to the realization of its correction.
Я
I'm reluctant to speak about the millions of people who unite into their faith confessions. It depends on the properties of souls. There are all kinds of types of souls, and each type is influenced by a certain stereotype of sensations and thinking. That's why they develop a certain perception of the universe and of the Creator. But if we go back to the conception of the at the beginning of religions, but then it was enforced on people. Judaism was limiting itself and was against missionaries, but other religions. In Judaism it is forbidden because it comes from Kabbalah. But other religions didn't have Kabbalah, so they imposed, forced their religion, their truth, on all people. If everyone uses drugs, then we will make it legal. We do not take standard. We just, that's what religions did. They adapted the standard to themselves. They claimed that the more widely spread the religion is, the more truth is in it.
So
there's a very long path in people's understanding their connection with the Creator. There's no getting away from that. We will see in this life and in the subsequent incarnations all these processes and the problems that will be revealed to us. Yes, Aran? Why should we go along the path of separation from religion and not vice versa? Try to involve them in what we are doing. Why can't we?
In частности, он говорит против иудаизма и показать, что настоящая вообще религия, то есть наша настоящая.
Why should we not demonstrate that our real attitude to the Creator is Kabbalah? I repeat that there's nothing real or unreal, true or untrue. Whatever the person imagines as correct, good, and pleasant is truth for him. If, like a small child, he believes in some puppet, idol, or action, or object, that you cannot. Force him to change his mind. Under the influence of the light, he should go through all the stages of correction on himself. So we cannot say that this religion is better and this is worse, and all the religions are nothing in comparison to with Kabbalah. It's not correct. Everything that was invented or devised by man was necessary. The Creator is invariable. The person should be changing himself according to his desire, to his own will. Then all his actions will lead him to the end of correction with his complete plea. We should not complain and blame anyone. That's why Baal Shalom writes in his article, The Last Generation, that even in the last generation there will be people who will follow their own faiths and confessions in their religions. Imagine what he says, that in Gemar Tikkun, after the final correction, there will be souls who would remain in their confessions. So they will have to go through corrections on the very last stages of their development. And until then, you have no right to force them to do anything. People may stay in their beliefs. And we should treat it this way. There were many examples. When I was hot and young, I was with my teacher, and I used to tell him, what is this stupidity, and I will go to him and I will compel him to believe what I believe. And he said, don't even try to think about it. You shouldn't speak to the person about it. He should go through all these stages by himself. Then he will do it consciously and willingly, and then he will be. Look at the way a fetus is growing in its mother's womb, and the correct education should be based on the same principle. We need to create a good environment to a person that would facilitate his development, so that his personal rishimot would emerge quicker. In the article Free Will, Baal Shalom writes that we should provide the person as a grain of wheat a better environment, so that his own properties would be revealed to him faster. Otherwise, he will be working on someone else's rishimot, not on his own. This is the problem of dissemination of Kabbalah. That's why I'm telling you all the time, it should not be aggressive, it should be passive. We should disseminate the knowledge, put our books on the shelves. And today, when we go through all kinds of problems and changes that happen to this group, we need to show what Kabbalah is about, but the person should come to his personal conclusions and work on his own stages of development. So don't pay attention to the numbers. There were 60 of you and there will be 20 left. It's okay. But there will be people who accept this method, for whom this method is good. What are we going to do next? Are you strong enough to continue? I don't want to speak about it. We speak about how it works within the person. We don't discuss how we influence one another. each of us perceives the external information in accordance with his desire in heart and with his Rishimot. Yes, please. Why then are we speaking about the religious way of life? We lead the religious way of life. We follow the rites and so on. The religious rites that we follow is very liberal, I should say. But why do we continue it? We do it out of necessity. And this necessity consists of two elements, one of which is we live in a certain society, belong to a certain nation, people. This nation is obliged to master the Kabbalistic method in order to pass it to the rest of the world. It's not a nation, actually. It's a Kabbalistic group that has managed to forget about their own mission by 99.9%. It's like in the group of Bnei Baruch, it exists, it has existed for 15 years. During these years, say 10,000 people went through this group, and today there are 150 people. And where are the 10,000?
And they
left. So they represent the nation that exists around the core group. That's what happened to the Jewish nation. There was a Kabbalistic group, and new people were born, and according to their spiritual maturity, they
избранность заключается в том, so, чтобы в первую очередь вот эти вот остальные, которые не являются сегодня
the rest of the people who, according to their development, are not Kabbalists, that's the notion of the chosen nation. They need to master this method in order to cross the Muslim, become teachers of the rest of the world. That's what our sources say. That's why Kabbalah was given to this certain group of people, specific group of people. Since we are living within this nation, we are obliged to take all the external attributes so that these nation would accept us, and it would be easy to associate themselves with us and to understand and believe that we have the right method of correction and leading the world to its purpose. To this end, we need to create a correct psychological image. And this way we try to present ourselves.
So это должна быть внешность определенная.
We should look in a certain way. We need some outward attributes. Our behavior should be within a certain framework. There's nothing we can do. I explain it to everyone. This is the first element. The second element, why do we take upon ourselves to follow and observe all kinds of conditional actions? So the first, as I said, we need to our nations see that we belong to the tradition. And secondly, performance of these actions reminds the person of what is behind them. If we take the book written by the Ari, Tamei Mitzvot, the tastes of commandments, the meaning of commandments, we will read there that all our commandments, all our rules and laws, the kashrut, tefillin, talin, the laws of matrimonial life, in the day-to-day life, also all 620 precepts, we will see their explanation in the spiritual world, in the spiritual form. It's described as the interaction between Kli with the screen and the light, and it can be performed by the soul when it is in the body or outside. In our world, these 620 actions are embodied in certain corporeal actions without any connection with spirituality, as we said in the article, body and the soul. Why do we perform them? In order to remind ourselves that behind them stand the spiritual actions. This way we can return faster to the thought of where we actually exist. But if these outward actions do not return us to this thought, they lose meaning. They become meaningless. This is what is said. The commandment without the proper intention is dead. It's lifeless. Unless you perform the interaction, it is still. It doesn't leave any consequence after this performance. But we do it in order to remind ourselves that behind them there exists an inner action. Hence, the Kabbalists, who describe these commandments to us, they describe them on the upper level, the spiritual level, and describe them on the corporeal level, and compel us to observe them in both realms. Actually, they spoke about the observance of these things in the roots, not in the branches. In order to remind ourselves about the roots, take all 620 actions and look at what we can observe in our branches, and you'll see that out of 620 spiritual actions, by analogy, we can only perform about 20 actions out of 620, because our world lost resemblance, the equivalence of form with our corporeal world, lost in touch with the spiritual world. So these two commandments are recommended to observe willy-nilly. They remind you about their roots. It is very important to us, but common religious people, it's just a ritual, so they do not perform any correction. That's why they are called the spiritually still level. Yes, Gilad. As we explain to people about the difference that they have to, the change that they have to go through, they understand that they need to change and not the Creator. But being similar to the Creator is not perceived at all. So what can you do in the middle, on the way, in order to be better understood? Any of our explanations are good and perceived correctly, except when we say that we need to become similar to the Creator, achieve the equivalence of form. It sounds insolent, presumptuous. So how can we present it to people in the correct, palatable way? We can do it if we formulate it correctly. If we formulate correctly what the Creator is, the Creator is the property of bestowal, kind, dispensing kindness, goodness. Then by achieving equivalence of form with Him, which is realized by way of the rule, love thy neighbor as thyself, is not such a difficult problem to explain it to people. And then people will not resent it as some insolence. It's forbidden to think this way. People think that the Creator is some absolute, unattainable, eternal. They detach the image of the Creator from the definition of force
and
put it on the level which initially cannot be compared to man. We say that our egoism is created as an imprint of the Creator's properties. The Creator imprinted Himself in the egoism, His face. And we, it's like convex and concave. We are a negative copy of the Creator. But this, we can become absolutely similar to Him.